It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Tigers are part of our conversation today, as are Heather's feet. Her shoes, more specifically.
Okay, great. Let's get back on that topic.
Let's clarify that.
Yeah.
Ticket texts have come in. Heather pulled a Stoney today. She realized once she got into the building that, see, one shoe was different than the other shoe.
Mm-hmm.
One is a white sneaker.
Yes.
The other is a very bright red fluorescent sneaker.
Yes.
And you said that they're not even the same style of sneaker in that one sits heavier than the other.
Yeah, one has like a bigger sole. So it's like a little elevated, right? Like they're not gym shoes. I wouldn't work out in them. They're a little smushier. And then the other is like my training shoe. Like it's like a running shoe.
And it's incredible that you do this on a day where John's out and Stoney's in.
I know. I got somebody who can relate to me.
That's right.
It's great.
Ticket texters, I can't believe this story. When I was in the Marines, we had a uniform inspection and a guy in my platoon showed up with two right shoes on.
Wow.
That feels like...
That would hurt.
You would notice that.
Yeah.
Right away.
Immediately. Oh, this... Because you've done that. You've put the shoe on the wrong foot.
Right,
that doesn't fit. That's not how it's supposed to. And you
take it off and...
This guy shows up with two left feet or right shoes in this case. Another one says, Heather should totally put her feet... on the Twitch screen, signed Rex Ryan. Another one says, good news for Heather. She has another pair just like it at home.
Yeah, that is great news. Yes.
You heard a little Jim Leland in the update there. And yeah. Stoney, I know you talked a little bit about this on Friday with Valeni, him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there was this debate over, is he a no doubter? Should he be in there? I think... He deserved to be in there.
So
that was the
I.
conclusion that you and Valeni both reached. I mean, all the games he managed, the World Series he did win, albeit not here in Detroit. It makes for an interesting conversation. How do we view him in Detroit? He's a Hall of Famer, didn't win a World Series here, but he was at the center of a baseball renaissance. So I want to know from you, and we want to hear from people this morning, as Jim Leland goes into the Hall of Fame, how will he be remembered in Detroit?
I think you used the word, a terrific word, renaissance. I think, and I've told him this both on and off the air, and actually told this to Dombrowski when he was in the last few weeks ago with the Phillies. I thank them because for a while, when like sports radio started in 1994, Sparky was the manager. The teams weren't very good. We went through 12 seasons, you know, 11 seasons before Leland got there, where the team was basically awful every single year. Maybe one year, you know, they hovered about 500. One year they might have had a winning record. But what Jim Leland did, that whole crew, but Leland in particular, he made baseball relevant again. Because, and he addressed it a little bit yesterday too. You know, how the support that that team got and the run that they went on. Yeah, should they have won a World Series? Absolutely. There were either years after 06 where you thought when they got Miggy in 08, they didn't make the, you know, the World Series until 2012, that they should have done better. You know, whether that's him or players, irrelevant. Baseball was dead in this town for your youth, really.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up, I mean, from my standpoint, I'm born in 93.
Oh, yes.
Stoney, when were the Tigers first relevant in my life? It was 06.
06.
06. So at that point, I mean, I 8 years old, my baseball team is radioactive.
Right.
And they don't become part of my, like, sports consciousness until I'm a dozen years old. I'm 13 and I'm you know, getting caught up in baseball. But that normally happens much earlier for people.
Right.
And so, it never would have happened if not for that era of Tiger
so
baseball.
So your real youth is, you know, Buddy Bell and, you know, Pujols and all that crap. Phil Garner and all, you know.
Come on now.
Trammell even.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder why I fell in love with the Red Wings. I mean, the options were, hey, Barry's retiring. Yeah. Your basketball team is mired in nonsense and your baseball team's the worst of the bunch at that point.
Right.
Right. So it didn't really become relevant again until
06.
06.
And it came out of nowhere because nobody thought they were going to be really good that year.
Ticket Texter says he'll be remembered as the guy who went 1-8 in World Series. How much of that is fair to point out that ultimately they underachieved? As much as they overachieved early on, they underachieved at the end.
That's fair, but it's just as much on the players as it is on him.
How much credit does Leland get versus the players versus Dombrowski, the guy who brought the players in? Because I almost viewed Dombrowski as the most important
of that. And he brought Leland in. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, if you're going to rank them, you could argue.
Like, I would put Dombrowski one. He's the one that had the cojones to go out and swing for Cabrera. But prior to that, it's moves like Guillen. It's Pudge, it's Mags, the kind of moves they're currently not making to bring in those broken veterans that help nudge a team forward.
Right.
Trades and trying to fix the bullpen. It didn't always work, but every year we're going to go get another closer, whether it's Nathan Valverde, Todd Jones wasn't getting it done. We'll get somebody else.
Right.
Always trying to upgrade this baseball team in an aggressive way. And it felt like at times they underachieved some of those. I mean, how
correct.
Many 88 wins?
Right.
Or the 08 team where they were stacked and they had the worst record in the AL Central. I mean, I'm not doing this to bash Leland. I'm just asking how he's viewed by Tiger fans, because ultimately he's the manager of the most relevant era of Tiger baseball in my life. So I view him positively, but it's a complicated history, maybe more than people want to admit.
Look, he wasn't perfect, but I don't think it was that complicated. I mean, he like we mentioned with Dombrowski, they made baseball important again. They really did. And it also starts with Mike Ilitch, who he was the one who wanted Miguel Cabrera, actually, who got the ball rolling. And Dombrowski executed a great deal where they gave up two first-round draft choices, Maben and Andrew Miller, among them to get, you know, Miguel Cabrera. Yeah, did they underachieve for the talent? Yeah, especially 2013. That was the year his best team that didn't even get to the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about the Big Papi Grand Slam, but as Leland always told me, he goes, that didn't do it. It was the next, because they got the split.
Yeah.
Game 3 at Comerica, Verlander on the mound, and Napoli hit a home run. They lost 1-0. He said that game bothers him more than the other game.
It's the momentum shift that you point to. You still have time to dig out of it. When they didn't, it cemented it as an uh-oh.
Yes.
And then they never got out of that. Texter says he was good, not great in Detroit. Made an impact, but couldn't get over the top. I feel like the whole retiring his number thing is a little too much. First ticket text we get.
Well, the Tigers, right or wrong, you have to make the Hall of Fame to have your number retired is what they used to do. Now, that changed with Lou. Mm-hmm. And Willie Horton was a
legacy and for significant importance to the city.
Correct. But yeah, and actually, the number was retired after Gibby wore it, too, so don't forget.
Right. Leland brought the roar back to the D. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. So does Lou Whitaker. That's Mark on the ticket text. He will be remembered as the manager who smoked in the dugout.
Yeah.
Yeah. old school.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to see that again. This one says, we have some more Heather stuff. We work at a New Year's Eve party at a coworker's house in Royal Oak where we got dressed up, stayed the night, had to work the next day in a gym. I only brought my dress shoes with me. Realized late, so I went to Meijer, picked up some at the very last minute, got to work. There were already two left-footed shoes in the box, and I had to work all day with two left shoes.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
But you didn't do it purposely, so that's okay.
This one says, hey, Heather, tell us you're not an overwhelmed working mom without telling us you're an overwhelmed working mom.
Yeah.
That's
probably that's the truth.
Logical
sure.
explanation there.
Yep.
Jim Leland's a Hall of Famer. He did so, look, was like I said, was he perfect? No. I mean, there were certain things the year that it ended up being okay because they went to the World Series, but where they didn't win the division when he had Polanco sit out a game on the last week of the season. I could never understand some of his lineup stuff. And that's when, because social media started pretty heavily back then, where the lineups were posted like during the afternoon shows and things like that, and people would get pissed off. Why is he playing this guy? You know, so
that's Don Kelly in the two hole.
That was great. Is that during that era, the Tigers became good, obviously, so you could actually criticize pitching changes and strategy.
Stoney, you could tell Valverde didn't have it. Why did he leave him in?
Right, and we don't do that now because it's a waste of your breath, really.
Yeah, and there was no three batter minimum, so if a guy came in and walked two, you could get his ass out of there, and sometimes a manager with my gut would stay and keep him in the game anyway, and they'd lose, and then sports radio would blow up the next day because people were passionate about it, because people cared, and that's what makes this... I said complicated. You don't think it's that complicated. I think it's what makes it so complicated. The guy is the best Tiger manager of a generation of my life.
Right.
And at the same time, there were blunders that he made in game with his lineups and his rotations, and they inarguably underachieved. They were plenty talented enough to win a World Series from 06 to 2013, and they didn't. So he does get blame. I know no one wants to blame a guy. He just got honored.
Right.
But that becomes why it's complicated, because I don't want to blame him. But if we ask the question, how will he be viewed, it is as both the guy who resurrected, but also the guy who fell just short.
Falling just short, yes. And look, he did great things in Pittsburgh. They couldn't even get to the World Series.
Right.
And he wins with the Marlins, you know, they bought players, then they sold it originally, and after they won the World Series. Hey, look at Sparky. There are a lot of people who believe that he underachieved here because he only won one with that team.
But it's easier to forgive when you win one.
Yes, I know.
It's easier to forgive if you at least, because I still got to hear about the 84 Tigers.
I know you do.
Anyway, Jim Leland
did address... Did you know it's 40 years ago?
You're bad. We've got Jim Leland talking about Tiger fans. We'll get to that coming up next. And the funny story. This has gone viral. A couple of the best moments from Jim Leland's Hall of Fame induction. It's 97.1. And tell you about Moran Chevrolet. Slide into the summer the easy way with Moran Chevrolet. Right now, GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 Blazer EV all-wheel drive starting at just $344 a month. That's only $999 down. And Moran has shipments arriving daily. Why do we tell you that? Why is that important? Because the worst experience is when you go to a dealership, you're looking for a car, you got something in mind, you get all the way and realize they don't have it. And it's on back order and it's delayed. And other people want the car too. That doesn't happen at Moran Chevrolet. They have it set up for you. They're going to have what you're looking for. Pick your new ride or have it delivered directly. How easy is that? Only at Moran Chevrolet, MoranExpress.com. Check them out. Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Search inventory, MoranExpress.com or in-store on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
How will Jim Leland be remembered in Detroit? Well, he's a Hall of Famer. He was a manager that took the Tigers to two World Series, won three divisions, but never won a World Series.
You think people have any animosity that he's going with a blank cap? I don't.
No, I love his reasoning.
Yes.
He didn't want to disrespect any of the teams he managed. I mean, you could argue he won the World Series with the Marlins. It should be a Marlins cap. You could argue he's synonymous with Pittsburgh.
He is. Still lives there.
Should have a Pirates cap. But clearly, here in Detroit, we feel a certain way about him, and it is generally positive.
Yes.
There were bullpen decisions.
Right.
Phil Koch against Ortiz feels a lot better than Joaquin Benoit with the bases loaded in game two of the ALCS with your best team. Anyway,
you can still get worked up about it. I did too. But if Phil Koch would have come in and given up a hit, let alone a home run, because Phil Koch was not very popular.
He was not. But the one reason he was on the roster was to face lefties. And specifically, Ortiz was like 18 or 19 in his career against Ortiz. And a single doesn't give up.
I know.
So he comes in and gives up a bloop double, and you're still in the fight at least.
Right.
Anyway, not to rehash more than a decade-old baseball debate, but that is the legacy of Leland, is that he brought baseball debates back. He brought relevance back. He, along with it, I give Dombrowski more credit, but the tandem of those two for the better part of a decade made this city love baseball again. And that is his legacy as much as it also is, and you have to also include, that with teams good enough to win a World Series, they were 1-8 in the World Series and didn't even make it with his most talented roster. He should be honored. I don't bring any of that up to say he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. We all love Jim Leland. And he spoke, and we want to play a couple clips from his Hall of Fame speech. The first is the funny story that's gone viral about him finally being inducted. It's a good one. Katie is his wife.
That's it. That's so Leland.
Jim, you're not in my wildest dream. He had a good sense of humor. And he could be kind of grumpy. But that comes with being a manager for 162 games when people are combing through your decisions.
You know what? It's funny. He also, it wasn't his fault. He kind of spilled the beans on a surprise for me. I saw him in spring training in February, and I was on one side of the state, and me and my friend, we drove like 3 hours to Lakeland. It was Tigers spring training opener. I just wanted to see AJ. Thanks. You know, it was after I was done with the morning show. Thank you for everything. I was in Florida, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm walking down the right field line before the game, and Leland's there and he's smoking away, and we're talking and all this kind of stuff. And I said, I'm not doing the morning show. I'm in the semi-retirement. And he goes, I know. Didn't you see the video?
Oh, you hadn't seen your video yet.
No, I didn't see my video.
With all the people who thanked you.
Like you guys and Izzo and Tirico and Leland. It was great.
But you had no idea.
I had no idea.
Oh, that's great.
I had no idea.
He tipped you off.
Yeah.
Your daughters were probably mad at him.
Well, I didn't tell them until after I saw the video.
Okay, good.
Yes.
The other Leland thing that we want to play for people is him talking about Tiger fans, right? This is him talking about the people of Detroit.
Very cool.
Placido Polanco, one of my favorite Tigers of that era.
One of the greatest trades in Tiger history.
They gave up Ugueth Urbina.
Yes. The guy spent some time in jail for wielding a machete.
Yeah, I think it was, he was trying to get revenge on someone. Anyway.
Yeah, his mother was like injured or her farm was burned up or something. I don't remember the exact.
He took it into his own hands.
Yes, exactly.
And Polanco was the ideal number two hitter. If you created a second hitter in a lab, a place setter, Crouch, draw walks.
Yeah. And he was
put the ball in play, get on base. Good, really good in the field.
And he was one of the few people on this planet with a bigger head than Jamie. That's how we remember Placido Polanco.
Do you remember the image I have of him is when they were in the playoffs and he would wear like the how do you describe it? the hat, but the only thing exposed was his face. Yes. Everything else was just because he was cold.
Skull cap, is that what you would call it?
I guess. Yeah, but that's what I think of it. The giant head in that skull cap, I guess. But yeah, all the names he mentioned, and they had some great players at the time, and it was a great era. And Jim Leland goes into the Hall of Fame. How will he be remembered? Some ticket text phone calls, 248-539-9797. We'll collect those. We're going to talk more about our actual baseball team later in the hour.
And we have some interesting historic Olympic news coming up that I'll mention after Heather's. Okay,
7:35, Stoney has historic Olympic news that I'm completely caught off guard by. But first, let's get to Heather in the news.
Don't watch your social media.
I won't.
Sounds exciting.
Putting the laptop down. I have no idea what's going on.
President Biden announced yesterday that he will not seek re-election. So in his official statement, he said, quote, "I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term." He did add, "I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision." He also endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris as his replacement. So he is the first sitting president to drop out since Lyndon Johnson in 1968.
I believe I saw the convention was in Chicago that year too.
So yes. Was
similarities.
It? Oh, look at that.
Now this news was foreshadowed.
It was.
For weeks. And we don't talk a lot of politics on the show. When that first debate happened, we brought it up.
Yeah.
This had to happen. Mm-hmm. And I know he didn't want it to happen, but
I had a bad night.
But you have to say, hey, put your party and more importantly, the country first. You need somebody better running than him.
Right.
This is pretty cool. Eminem has dethroned Taylor Swift to claim the number one album in the country. So his album, The Death of Slim Shady, marks his 11th album to be to top the Billboard's 200 albums chart. And it ends Swift's 12-week reign with her album, The Tortured Poets Department. So that's pretty cool. So he is now tied with Kanye West, your boy, Bruce Springsteen, and Barbara Streisand for fourth place on the list of artists with the most number one albums in Billboard's 200 chart history.
And now he's dating Travis Kelce.
So only the Beatles, Jay-Z, Taylor Swift, and Drake have more.
It's awesome.
That's very impressive.
One of our own.
It's Bruce has many more albums, but they obviously didn't all make the
list. Right.
Yes.
He's got more albums, but they didn't all make the list.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting. You guys, a manhunt continues today for a man accused of shooting and killing a Melvindale police officer on Sunday. Officials say the officer was responding to a suspicious person's call when he spotted the suspect, Michael Lopez, with several bags and no vehicle. The officer apparently went to go check to see if Lopez was homeless, maybe needed some help. But as soon as the officer got close, Lopez ran away. Well, the officer chased Lopez and there was a brief struggle between the two. The officer used a taser and that's when Lopez pulled out a gun and fatally shot this officer. There is a big reward. A $30,000 reward is being offered for any information that leads to the arrest of this individual. They have posted photos now. He's got some distinguishing tattoos. So if anybody has any information, obviously call the Melvindale Police Department. But they're saying, hey, he's considered armed and dangerous. So if you see him, don't approach him, but call 911 immediately. Former Michigan football defensive back and current Utah State cornerback Andre Selden Jr. died on Saturday, 22 years old, in an apparent drowning. A search began Saturday afternoon after callers reported seeing him diving from cliffs at this reservoir and then never resurfaced. His body was later recovered by a dive team. Sad news.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough. You had a story, I think, last week about someone drowning who was a good swimmer.
Athletic. He was out there swimming for exercise when he drowned. Water is a dangerous thing, and you just need to be careful and always,
know your limits.
Yeah, but sometimes that's hard, though.
If you
get far out, and wherever you are, you know your limit, but if you can't control it,
it's just sad. I know, Stoney, you had met him at least once.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
Chick-fil-A is no longer America's favorite fast food restaurant.
Really?
For 9 straight years, Chick-fil-A has taken that top spot on USA Today's 10 Best Reader's Choice Awards, but that streak has come to an end. So this year, Chick-fil-A dropped to 3rd place.
Whoa.
On this list. Yeah, big drop. Number one, Del Taco.
And are there a lot of Del Tacos around here?
I don't think so.
I don't think I've ever had Del Taco.
But I've heard of it.
I know of it. Yeah.
I've never had
this
Del Taco.
This isn't a Bronner's
either.
Thing. I've heard of it.
Yes.
What's Del Taco? Number two, KFC.
Really?
Yes.
Over Chick-fil-A?
Yeah. Then Chick-fil-A, number three. In-N-Out, number four. Hardee's. Obviously, this is a...
Yeah.
We used to have Hardee's. We don't have Hardee's around anymore. Captain D's. I've never heard of that either.
Who made this list? And
Taco
what's the criteria?
Bell, Popeye's, Zaxby's. Do you know
Zaxby's?
That?
I've it's heard of
Zaxby's.
Yes.
Yeah. Know that. And then Arby's at number 10.
So not only like heavy, like Wendy's, McDonald's.
Oh,
like the,
no, those no, didn't even make no, the cut.
It's too mainstream for this list.
Exactly.
So does Chick-fil-A counter by opening on Sundays now to get back to number one?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe it had something to do with total sales and because they're only open 6 days a week. So, although you still drive by them and they still have these ridiculous lines.
I will never understand it. I've never, because I don't eat this type of food, so I don't really know the difference if it's worth waiting for that long. But I see those drive-thrus and I'm like, for a chicken sandwich?
It's drive-thrus. You're at the mall. It's the longest line at the mall.
It's a chicken sandwich.
It's a good chicken sandwich, but like I like Popeyes. I like it's not like it's exclusively the only way to get a good chicken sandwich.
I don't know, though.
Anyway,
I've never had one.
People swear by it.
Yep.
Heather with the news. We have, how did you put it, Stoney?
Historic United States Olympic news.
That's coming up next. We'll get into the Tigers. They want to buy. AJ Hinch says, let's buy. They won 2 of 3 over the weekend. We have some questions. It's 97.1. Couple grand slams over the weekend for the Tigers. They took 2 of 3 against the Blue Jays. AJ Hinch told us Friday, I want to buy. Couple questions, if that's the case. But first, Stoney, you said we have some interesting, breaking, historic Olympic news.
For the United States, yes. Obviously, the Olympics take place on Friday, the opening ceremonies. And for the first time in United States history, the flag bearer will be...
And wearing a shirt?
These are voted on by the other Olympians, by the way.
Okay.
Will be a men's basketball player.
Okay. You want me to guess? Is that where this comes in? LeBron James.
Yes. It'll be LeBron James. Now, there are people out there probably not too pleased about that.
Why? Let me pause. People are generally unhappy about everything. You can find someone to complain about almost anything.
Shut up
these
and
days.
Dribble, you know, all that. Okay. You know, so there are people probably who are not LeBron fans. Put it that way.
Okay.
I think it's well deserved. And it's kind of interesting to me that it's the first time that a male basketball player has done either the opening ceremonies or I believe I'm looking at a list or the closing ceremonies. Now, women, Sue Bird did it in 2020, women's basketball, and the opening ceremonies in 2004, the United States flag bearer was Dawn Staley, who's now obviously the head coach of South Carolina. She played at Temple, I believe, is where she played.
How many gold medals LeBron have? Like three? Two?
I believe three. Three or four.
I mean, he's a decorated Olympian is the point. I mean, there's no issue with him.
Last time, if it wasn't for Kevin Durant, they would not have won.
Yeah. And they're both there again. I mean, some of this is kind of the last go-round. So I think that's part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is
you would think the
last go-round for LeBron at
the
Olympics.
Unless Bronny makes the Olympics, then he has to be in the Olympics with Bronny. No, but...
And the idea here, too, is like... It's kind of a crowning achievement. Mm-hmm. That's
cool, actually.
And whether you think he's the best basketball player of all time or not, he's two or three. And he's, come on. This is cool.
And, you know, I like to see when guys represent their country. They actually care about this stuff.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, but they do.
You getting excited for the Olympics?
I wouldn't say excited. I'll be intrigued by some of it.
Heather is excited.
I am so pumped for the Olympics. I can't wait. I've been like, I've watched the Simone documentary twice already. I've been showing videos to my daughter and she's excited. I don't think she realizes what's happening, but she likes the gymnastics videos that I'm showing her. She is pumped. She wants to be a gymnast. She wants to do that. I cannot wait to watch it with her.
Is that the one that you guys are most amped for?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I was obsessed with gymnastics when I was a kid. Like, I wanted to be Shannon Miller. So I've just always loved gymnastics. So I'm excited. But I'm excited for everything. I'm excited to see the breakdancing this year.
So you didn't grow up wanting to be a breakdancer in the Olympics?
I didn't.
This is the very first time.
Yeah, but maybe
how
I
does
will.
That even work?
Maybe that will be my new dream.
Do they score it? Is it like figure skating where you do like
a
routine?
Know. Yeah, and it's got to be, right? A 10. I don't know.
I don't know, but you always have to look out for the Russian judge, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
Because the Olympics are political in some cases.
They always are.
I know.
They always are.
Figure skating. That's the one thing I don't like about gymnastics, figure skating, and to a lesser extent, well, I don't believe in the Olympics. They're judged on the equestrian. It's all timed. Anything that's subjective.
I don't like it either.
I mean,
I get it.
You can't give,
done,
you can't award, in my opinion, you know, based upon somebody's opinion. Now you could argue, well, that's what boxing is too. Okay, I get
a little bit, but that's only if we can't settle it first with punches to the face. I mean, right. If someone gets knocked out, it's pretty definitive who won the fight.
Exactly.
You don't have a chance in breakdancing to knock your opponent out. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know. Maybe you can, but you can't in figure skating unless you're Tonya Harding. Like, there's only so much you can do in those sports, and then you're at the mercy of the judges. And I'm with you, Stoney. I don't like that.
No.
What sport are you most interested in?
I'm basketball, because the teams from other lands are really, really good.
More competitive. Did you see the U.S.? I know it's early. They struggle with Sudan.
Sudan, out of nowhere.
They'll wake up. They'll be fine.
They play Germany tonight in their last friendly against the Wagners, or at least one of them, I'm sure. Wemby play. I thought he wasn't going to play, but he obviously is for France. So you get to see NBA players and some players you never heard of who are really, really good. So that's my favorite non-traditional sport that I love watching the Olympics is team handball, which is basically like soccer, but you use your hands and you throw the ball. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
And we never even qualify, I don't think, to even make it.
Oh, the U.S. doesn't have a team good enough to play handball
internationally. I don't think so. I'm not part of the handball elite, but I don't believe they've been in too many Olympics.
We got to get our best and brightest on that.
Damn right.
We got to get better representation in handball. Yeah. Ledecky is going to be one of the faces of this Olympics,
yes.
Right? She's going to crush it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the fun, is watching your country just dominate, and she is one of the most dominant athletes of all time.
We have that great long distance runner from Grand Blanc. I believe Fisher is his last name, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it'll be cool.
The sprinting and the track and field stuff is always super popular.
It's unbelievable.
Now,
Noah Lyles, I mean, he's got a great personality. He's going to try to do the 100 and the 200, and it's great. The women are awesome. It's really cool, in my opinion.
Yeah. We have 3-on-3 basketball for the first time.
Yeah, I know.
Why'd you make a face?
I don't know. What do you need 3-on-3? It's Gus Macker.
Yeah, like a scowl on your face when I said that.
Because it's like they make up these sports.
What's wrong with Gus Macker?
Nothing, but for an Olympic sport, why don't you go 2-on-2?
I mean, once you put breakdancing in, you can do whatever you want.
That ballroom dancing in one or two Olympics. Why don't they play a horse competition in basketball?
And we're one step away at that point.
Yes, you go to the Sen River and throw the ball to
I still can't believe they're going to be competing in the Sen, but
that's
France's problem. The time difference, we just checked this. For people who aren't aware, Friday, you said, is the opening ceremonies, and then we really get underway. The time difference is 6 hours, you said, Stoney?
Yes.
So it's currently 6 hours. It's like 1:43 in the afternoon there right now?
Yes.
Okay, in France, Friday. We'll be all over it. I mean, it's the Olympics every four years. I know John loves the Olympics, right? So this
America.
Show, America, we'll plant our flag. We'll have the Olympic coverage. Next week, we'll also be out at Lions training camp. So it's all coming together, the Olympics and football. In the meantime, can the Tigers stay on the radar? They won 2 of 3 over the weekend. Stoney, that is, count them, 4 straight series wins. They were hot going into the break. The question would be, how would they be out of the break? Won the first two in Toronto. They are one game closer to a playoff spot. AJ Hinch said to us on Friday, we want to buy. Stoney, are they closer to buying after this weekend or not?
No, because of the Reese Olson situation, in my opinion. I wouldn't have bought anyway. That's just me. But when you have your rotation, which was pretty damn good, Scooble, Olson, Flaherty, and then you figure out what the hell's going to do with the other two spots. But and now that Olson's going to be gone for minimum 3 starts is my guess, minimum.
Yeah, it's a concern. It's a shoulder.
Right, and you can't just keep Flaherty and not trade him because you want to have another good arm so you can maybe make the wild card. No.
You're right. They're technically closer to a playoff spot.
Yes.
But if we use any bit of brain power, we could deduce that they aren't any closer and they're actually further away, because AJ had told us on Friday they were going to have to run a couple bullpen starts, at least two, I think was his quote with us. And then they would have to reevaluate once they ran out of, you know, off days, and they, you know, they, you can't do a bullpen day every fifth day. You're going to tax your bullpen. That's not a strategy. Then you throw in the Olsen situation. Mize still isn't there. Flaherty's probably only on the team for another, what, about a week?
Yeah.
8 days. So you tell me how they're going to cobble together enough to keep them not in the race. They have to make up ground.
Right.
So the idea here is they made up a game, right? They Boston dipped a little bit. Kansas City is now in that final spot.
Mm-hmm.
You're not chasing one or even two teams. You're chasing three, four. There is a logjam of teams. And if one cools off and you get hot, too bad. You need three or four to cool off while you get hot. So in addition to needing to get hot, you need other teams to cool off. It just, guys, I know they're winning. I don't want to be the wet blanket. They are further from a playoff spot. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, because of the injury.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the one. Let me ask you this. I'm trying to be fair here because we are on the same page. But what have I told you, Jim? They gained a game this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You thought they would gain maybe more with the way they've been playing, right? Even, you know, they win a series.
Yeah.
Granted, they had the All-Star break, but they gained a game. Can't they game one game every week?
One game per week for 6 weeks would put them on the bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they're going to gain one game per week, given the state of this rotation.
Do I? But I'm trying to be fair here.
We can play the full AJ clip for people coming up next. And we welcome you guys into the show this morning. I mean, they won 2 or 3 over the weekend.
Yes.
If you want to push back and say we're being idiots, you... I know you do it on the ticket text. Call in and say it. 248-539-9797. If you think they're starting something, they're in the midst of something. They're 11-5 in the month of July. They're scoring runs this month. The offense is perked up. If you're seeing something we're not seeing, let us know. How do they do this, though? And there is one name that's come up, Stoney, for a way to bolster that rotation.
Yes.
How serious are the Tigers?
How patient are they?
It's a question of both. It's next, 97-1. We've got Stoney hanging out with us today for John. He's got the day off. Good morning, 97.1. AJ Hinch says he wants to be Byers. Tigers backed it up, winning 2 of 3 over the weekend, one game closer to a playoff spot. We asked the question, are they closer to buying after this weekend? And the answer on surface would be, well, they're one game closer. Reese Olsen got hurt on Saturday. The rotation's already in tatters, and there really isn't a way for this team to buy anyway. Like, what does buying even look like, Stoney? I had a buddy text me. He goes, hey, it was on Saturday when Rodgers hits the Grand Slam. Could this team actually buy? What are you buying with? You giving up top 10 prospects?
Right. Are you going to give up? Are you trading Flaherty too for a bat?
I guess.
That does not, that to me,
but,
it's
but,
just.
But a team that wants Flaherty's not giving up an impact bat. The type of guys you want to trade for would probably be controllable guys. Guys are not just rentals.
Right.
Those guys cost even more. So you giving up Jace Young?
No.
No, you're not giving up any of your top high-end prospects. That'd be silly for this team. Buying isn't an option. It's
nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty. It's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Couple grand slams over the weekend for the Tigers. They took 2 of 3 against the Blue Jays. AJ Hinch told us Friday, I want to buy. Couple questions if that's the case. But first, Stoney, you said we have some interesting, breaking, historic Olympic news.
For the United States, yes. Obviously, the Olympics take place on Friday, the opening ceremonies. And for the first time in United States history, the flag bearer will be...
And wearing a shirt?
These are voted on by the other Olympians, by the way.
Okay.
Will be a men's basketball player.
Okay. You want me to guess? Is that where this comes in? And LeBron James.
Yes. It'll be LeBron James. Now, there are people out there probably not too pleased about that.
Why? Let me pause. People are generally unhappy about everything. You can find someone to complain about almost anything.
Shut up
these
and
days.
Dribble, you know, all that. Okay. You know, so there are people probably who are not LeBron fans. Put it that way.
Okay.
I think it's well deserved, and it's kind of interesting to me that it's the first time that a male basketball player has done either the opening ceremonies, or I believe I'm looking at a list, or the closing ceremonies. Now, women. Sue Bird did it in 2020, women's basketball, and the opening ceremonies in 2004. The United States flag bearer was Dawn Staley, who's now obviously the head coach at South Carolina. She played at Temple, I believe, is where she played.
How many gold medals does LeBron have? Like three? Two?
I believe three. Three or four.
I mean, he's a decorated Olympian is the point. I mean, there's no issue with him.
Last time, if it wasn't for Kevin Durant, they would not have won.
Yeah. And they're both there again. I mean, some of this is kind of the last go-round. So I think that's part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is
you would think the
last go-round for LeBron at
the
Olympics.
Unless Bronny makes the Olympics, then he has to be in the Olympics with Bronny. No, but...
And the idea here, too, is like... It's kind of a crowning achievement. Mm-hmm. That's cool, actually. And whether you think he's the best basketball player of all time or not, he's two or three. And he's, come on. This is cool.
And, you know, I like to see when guys represent their country. They actually care about this stuff.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, but they do.
You getting excited for the Olympics?
I wouldn't say excited. I'll be intrigued by some of it.
Heather is excited.
I am so pumped for the Olympics. I can't wait. I've been like, I've watched the Simone documentary twice already. I've been showing videos to my daughter and she's excited. I don't think she realizes what's happening, but she likes the gymnastics videos that I'm showing her. She is pumped. She wants to be a gymnast. She wants to do that. I cannot wait to watch it with her.
Is that the one that you guys are most amped for?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I was obsessed with gymnastics when I was a kid. Like, I wanted to be Shannon Miller. So I've just always loved gymnastics. So I'm excited. But I'm excited for everything. I'm excited to see the breakdancing this year.
So you didn't grow up wanting to be a breakdancer in the Olympics?
I didn't.
This is the very first time.
How does
that even work?
Maybe that will be my new dream.
Do they score it? Is it like figure skating where you do like a routine?
Yeah, it's got to be, right? A 10. I don't know.
I don't know, but you always have to look out for the Russian judge, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
Because the Olympics are political in some cases.
They always are.
I know.
They always are.
Figure skating. That's the one thing I don't like about gymnastics, figure skating, and to a lesser extent, I don't believe in the Olympics. They're judged on the equestrian. It's all timed. Anything that's subjective.
I don't like it either.
I mean,
I get it.
You can't give
done,
you can't award, in my opinion, you know, based upon somebody's opinion. Now, you could argue, well, that's what boxing is, too. Okay, I get it.
A little bit, but that's only if we can't settle it first with punches to the face. I mean, right. If someone gets knocked out, it's pretty definitive who won the fight.
Exactly.
You don't have a chance in breakdancing to knock your opponent out. Mm-hmm. I guess, I don't know, maybe you can. But you can't in figure skating unless you're Tonya Harding. Like, there's only so much you can do in those sports, and then you're at the mercy of the judges. And I'm with you, Stoney. I don't like that.
No.
What sport are you most interested in?
I'm basketball, because the teams from other lands are really, really good.
More competitive. Did you see the U.S.? I know it's early. They struggle with Sudan.
Sudan, out of nowhere.
They'll wake up. They'll be fine.
They play Germany tonight in their last friendly against the Wagners, or at least one of them, I'm sure. Wemby play. I thought he wasn't going to play, but he obviously is for France. So you get to see NBA players and some players you never heard of who are really, really good. So that's my favorite non-traditional sport that I love watching the Olympics is team handball, which is basically like soccer, but you use your hands and you throw the ball. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
And we never even qualify, I don't think, to even make it.
Oh, the U.S. doesn't have a team good enough to play handball internationally.
I don't think so. I'm not part of the handball elite, but I don't believe they've been in too many Olympics.
We got to get our best and brightest on that.
Damn right.
We got to get better representation in handball. Yeah. Ledecky is going to be one of the faces of this Olympics, right? She's going to crush it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the fun, is watching your country just dominate, and she is one of the most dominant athletes of all time.
We have that great long distance runner from Grand Blanc. I believe Fisher is his last name, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it'll be cool.
The sprinting and the track and field stuff is always like a super popular.
It's unbelievable.
Now,
Noah Lyles, I mean, he's got a great personality. He's going to try to do the 100 and the 200, and it's great. The women are awesome. It's really cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, we have 3-on-3 basketball for the first time.
Yeah, I know.
Why'd you make a face?
I don't know. What do you need 3-on-3? It's Gus Macker.
You got a scowl on your face when I said that.
Because it's like they make up these sports.
What's wrong with Gus Macker?
Nothing, but for an Olympic sport, why don't you go 2-on-2?
I mean, once you put breakdancing in, you can do whatever you want.
That ballroom dancing in one or two Olympics. Why don't they play a horse competition in basketball?
I mean, we're one step away at that point.
Yes, you go to the Sen River and throw the ball to
I still can't believe they're going to be competing in the Seine, but
that's
France's problem. The time difference, we just checked this. For people who aren't aware, Friday, you said, is the opening ceremonies, and then we really get underway. The time difference is 6 hours, you said, Stoney?
Yes.
So it's currently 6 hours. It's like 1:43 in the afternoon there right now?
Yes.
Okay, in France, Friday. We'll be all over it. I mean, it's the Olympics every four years. I know John loves the Olympics, right? So
this
America, we'll plant our flag. We'll have the Olympic coverage. Next week, we'll also be out at Lions training camp. So it's all coming together, the Olympics and football. In the meantime, can the Tigers stay on the radar? They won 2 of 3 over the weekend. Stoney, that is, count them, 4 straight series wins. They were hot going into the break. The question would be, how would they be out of the break? Won the first two in Toronto. They are one game closer to a playoff spot. AJ Hinch said to us on Friday, we want to buy. Stoney, are they closer to buying after this weekend or not?
No, because of the Reese Olson situation, in my opinion. I wouldn't have bought anyway. That's just me. But when you have your rotation, which was pretty damn good, Scooble, Olson, Flaherty, and then you figure out what the hell's going to do with the other two spots. But and now that Olson's going to be gone for minimum 3 starts is my guess. Minimum.
Yeah, it's a concern. It's a shoulder.
Right, and you can't just keep Flaherty and not trade him because you want to have another good arm so you can maybe make the wild card. No.
You're right. They're technically closer to a playoff spot.
Yes.
But if we use any bit of brain power, we could deduce that they aren't any closer and they're actually further away, because AJ had told us on Friday they were going to have to run a couple bullpen starts, at least 2, I think was his quote with us. And then they would have to reevaluate once they ran out of, off days, and you can't do a bullpen day every 5th day. You're going to tax your bullpen. That's not a strategy. Then you throw in the Olson situation. Mize still isn't there. Flaherty's probably only on the team for another, about a week?
Yeah.
8 days? So you tell me how they're going to cobble together enough to keep them not in the race. They have to make up ground.
Right.
So the idea here is they made up a game, right? They Boston dipped a little bit. Kansas City is now in that final spot.
Mm-hmm.
You're not chasing one or even two teams. You're chasing three, four. There is a logjam of teams. And if one cools off and you get hot, too bad. You need three or four to cool off while you get hot. So in addition to needing to get hot, you need other teams to cool off. It just, guys, I know they're winning. I don't want to be the wet blanket. They are further from a playoff spot. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, because of the injury.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the one. Let me ask you this. I'm trying to be fair here because we are on the same page. But what have I told you, Jim? They gained a game this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You thought they would gain maybe more with the way they've been playing, right? Even if they win a series.
Yeah.
Granted, they had the All-Star break, but they gained a game.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they game one game every week?
One game per week for 6 weeks would put them on the bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they're going to gain one game per week, given the state of this rotation.
I'm trying to be fair here.
We can play the full AJ clip for people coming up next. And we welcome you guys into the show this morning. I mean, they won 2 or 3 over the weekend.
Yes.
If you want to push back and say we're being idiots, I know you do it on the ticket text. Call in and say it. 248-539-9797. If you think they're starting something, they're in the midst of something. They're 11-5 in the month of July. They're scoring runs this month. The offense is perked up. If you're seeing something we're not seeing, let us know. How do they do this, though? And there is one name that's come up, Stoney, for a way to bolster that rotation.
Yes.
How serious are the Tigers?
How patient are they?
It's a question of both. It's next, 97.1. We've got Stoney hanging out with us today for John. He's got the day off. Good morning, 97.1. AJ Hinch says he wants to be Byers. Tigers backed it up, winning 2 of 3 over the weekend, one game closer to a playoff spot. We asked the question, are they closer to buying after this weekend? And the answer on surface would be, well, they're one game closer. Reese Olsen got hurt on Saturday. The rotation's already in tatters, and there really isn't a way for this team to buy anyway. Like, what does buying even look like, Stoney? I had a buddy text me. He goes, hey, it was on Saturday when Rodgers hits the Grand Slam. Could this team actually buy? What are you buying with? You giving up top 10 prospects?
Right. Are you going to give up? Are you trading Flaherty too for a bat?
I guess.
That does not, that to me,
but,
it's
but,
just.
But a team that wants Flaherty's not giving up an impact bat. The type of guys you want to trade for would probably be controllable guys. Guys are not just rentals.
Right.
Those guys cost even more. So you giving up Jace Young?
No.
No, you're not giving up. Any of your top high-end prospects, that'd be silly for this team. Buying isn't an option. It's selling or not selling.
Correct.
And I don't know how
they're
you
selling.
Justify, even standing pat at this point.
No.
I mean, they'd have to make up considerable ground still before that becomes. And they're running out of time, Stoney. There's, 8 days until the trade deadline?
Right.
And they're 6 games back?
I know if they trade Flaherty and if they trade Cannon or Carson Kelly or all three or one, whatever, the players will be bummed a little bit and some fans will, but it's the right thing to do. It's cool that they're playing well and you're seeing, Colt Keith and obviously Green and who knows, Malloy looking like, okay, maybe he's a DH because he certainly can field down the road. But it's not worth trying to get better long term for this.
If they were 5-6 games better, above 500, a game or two out of a wild card spot,
yeah,
a different conversation. Right. Maybe you hang on to Flaherty and see what happens. If they were 4 or 5 games better, they would have had to do a hell of a lot more in the offseason, which is kind of the whole point.
Right.
They set this train in motion in February, that they were not full on serious about competing for a playoff spot. That's the bet they
chose.
Now they got a lie in it.
Yeah.
And a question of how serious they are. Well, there's one option that they could call up right now to try to bolster this rotation. I don't know if they will do it. It's Jackson Job.
Absolutely. I mean, normally I'd say let him develop and things like that. But you're in a stretch where you need a pitcher. And he's AA, 8 starts, 32 innings, 1.38 ERA, 0.857 whip. 45 Ks, 16 strikeouts, has not given up a home run. And I know you say, well, he hasn't pitched AAA yet, Stoney, Jim. Sometimes you don't even have to go to AAA. AA is the window where you can really usually tell if a guy's going to be really good or not. And he's been outstanding. Sure, if you want to throw him to Toledo for a start or two and then bring him up, I'd have no problem with that. But there's no use waiting. If he's oh, yeah, what if he gets hurt? Well, he's on an innings count pretty much, I think. So, or yeah, more than a pitch count. So he's going to throw anyway, whether it's in the minors or the majors. So you might as well, you know, now bring him up and let him go through, maybe, I wouldn't call it a pennant race, but, you know, some meaningful games. So the first time he does it is now rather than a year from now.
The case for Job is Paul Skeens. And they're not identical cases, but they're two months apart in age. Skeens, of course, had a college workload, but both of them hardly pitched. Well, Skeens hardly pitched in the minors. Right. So it would be a similar thing if you said, hey, we think the stuff plays. We don't need to see 100, 200 innings in the minors. The stuff plays. Mm-hmm. After about 40, 50 innings, and that's where Job is, we think the stuff plays. He throws 100 miles an hour. He's got a wipeout slider. He's added a changeup. He's not a one-pitch guy. He's got three-plus pitches. We think it plays. If that's the case, he's the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball, you'd call him up. The other options are non-existent.
Yes.
Sorry, tried to hit the dial tone. Didn't work. They're non-existent. Whether it's Ty Madden, who struggled in AAA.
No.
It's Matt Manning's hurt.
Yes.
I think Flores is hurt, if I'm not mistaken. You're not putting Maeda back in the rotation.
No.
The only serious option, a team that was actually serious about trying to make up a couple more games and keep the season afloat, would look to their number one pitching prospect in all of baseball, who's got elite stuff, and would say, throw him a time or two in the rotation and see if he can keep the season alive. But I don't know that they actually think they're in it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So maybe we're being hypocritical. We don't think they're in it, so why would you rush him up?
No.
My point is they're not rushing him. He's ready.
All along, I've said they didn't build this team to make the playoffs. And I've said when they were winning a little bit, they're not making the playoffs. When they're losing a little bit, everybody's with me. They're not making the playoffs. I don't think they're making the playoffs.
No.
My argument is to those who have fought me the entire way. Well, if I'm so wrong, call up Job and prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Call up Job and try to win more baseball games. Give us the summer run that you've told me is possible.
Because I'd rather see if you're going to go for this, I'd rather go for it with Jackson Job than Alex Fajardo or Bo Brisky as your start, because that's what they're going to have to do.
Right.
Make Fajardo or Brisky a starter, you would assume.
My expectation is, though, that it won't be Job because they didn't add bats, because Javi Baez plays every day, because they're not serious about competing for a playoff spot. And we can fight about whether that's what they should be doing or not, but that is what they've said they're going to do with their actions.
Right.
AJ Hinch was on with us on Friday. This is the clip of him saying that he wants to buy. He was asked about Tarek Skubal and the rumors about selling. Here was AJ's response.
All right. I find it hard to believe that he and Harris has not had that discussion. But more importantly, of course he wants to buy. All managers want to buy. Managers want to win baseball games. They're not worried that much about the future like the front office is.
Mm-hmm. He wants to buy. Fans may want them to buy. What does buying even look like for this team? Let's say they win all the games against Cleveland this week. They sweep them.
Wow.
Hot diggity dog. They're only, four games back, three games back of a playoff spot, best case scenario? What does that even look like?
I know.
Who are you giving up? You trading McGonagall?
No.
You trading Clark?
No, those guys both got promoted
over
the weekend.
Yeah, they're up to high A. I'm looking at their top prospects. It's Clark, Job, Young, McGonagall. You're not giving up any of those guys, so then you're going to be giving up Ty Madden, Montero, Flora. I mean, okay.
You don't have much to give up either.
No, okay. We got phone calls to get to, ticket text to read, and a lot more to do. It's 97.1. We've got Stoney hanging out with us today for John. He's got the day off. Good morning, 97.1. AJ Hinch says he wants to be buyers. Tigers backed it up, winning 2 of 3 over the weekend, one game closer to a playoff spot. We asked the question, are they closer to buying after this weekend? And the answer on surface would be, well, they're one game closer. Reese Olson got hurt on Saturday. The rotation's already in tatters, and there really isn't a way for this team to buy anyway. Like, what does buying even look like, Stoney? I had a buddy text me. He goes, hey, it was on Saturday when Rodgers hits the Grand Slam. Could this team actually buy? What are you buying with? You giving up top 10 prospects?
Right. Are you going to give up Are you trading Flaherty too for a bat?
I guess
that does not. That to me,
but a team that wants Flaherty's not giving up an impact bat. The type of guys you want to trade for would probably be controllable guys. Guys are not just rentals.
Right.
Those guys cost even more. So you giving up Jace Young?
No.
No, you're not giving up any of your top high end prospects. That'd be silly for this team. Buying isn't an option. It's selling or not selling.
Correct.
And I don't know how you justify, even standing pat at this point.
No.
I mean, they'd have to make up considerable ground still before that becomes. And there's the running out of time, Stoney. There's, 8 days until the trade deadline?
Right.
And they're 6 games back?
I know if they trade Flaherty and if they trade Connan or Carson Kelly or all three or one, whatever. You know, the players will be bummed a little bit and some fans will, but it's the right thing to do. It's cool that they're playing well. And you're seeing, Colt Keith and obviously Green and who knows, Malloy looking like, okay, maybe he's a DH because he certainly can field down the road. But it's not worth trying to get better long term for just for this.
If they were 5-6 games better, above 500, a game or two out of a wild card spot.
Yeah.
A different conversation. Right. Maybe you hang on to Flaherty and see what happens. If they were 4 or 5 games better, they would have to do a hell of a lot more in the offseason, which is kind of the whole point.
Right.
They set this train in motion in February, that they were not full on serious about competing for a playoff spot. That's the bet they
chose.
They made. Now they got a lie in it.
Yeah.
And a question of how serious they are. Well, there's one option that they could call up right now to try to bolster this rotation. I don't know if they will do it. It's Jackson Jobe.
Absolutely. I mean, normally I'd say let him develop and things like that, but you're in a stretch where you need a pitcher. And he's double A, 8 starts, 32 innings, 1.38 ERA, 0.857 whip, 45 Ks, 16 strikeouts, has not given up a home run. And I know you say, well, he hasn't pitched triple A yet, Stoney, Jim. Sometimes you don't even have to go to triple A. Double A is the window where you can really usually tell if a guy's going to be really good or not. And he's been outstanding. Sure, if you want to throw him to Toledo for a start or two and then bring him up, I'd have no problem with that. But there's no use waiting. What if he gets hurt? Well, he's on an innings count pretty much, I think. More than a pitch count. So he's going to throw anyway, whether it's in the minors or the majors. So you might as well, now bring him up. And let him go through, maybe I wouldn't call it a pennant race, but some meaningful games. So the first time he does it is now rather than a year from now.
The case for Jobe is Paul Skenes. And they're not identical cases, but they're two months apart in age. Skenes, of course, had a college workload, but both of them hardly pitched. Well, Skenes hardly pitched in the minors.
Right.
So it would be a similar thing if you said, hey, we think the stuff plays. We don't need to see 100, 200 innings in the minors. The stuff plays.
Mm-hmm.
After about 40, 50 innings, and that's where Jobe is, we think the stuff plays. He throws 100 miles an hour. He's got a wipeout slider. He's added a changeup. He's not a one-pitch guy. He's got 3-plus pitches. We think it plays. If that's the case, he's the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball, you'd call him up. The other options are non-existent.
Yes.
Sorry, tried to hit the dial tone. Didn't work. They're non-existent. Whether it's Ty Madden, who's struggled in AAA.
No.
It's Matt Manning's hurt.
Yes.
I think Flores is hurt, if I'm not mistaken. You're not putting Maeda back in the rotation.
No.
The only serious option, a team that was actually serious about trying to make up a couple more games and keep the season afloat, would look to their number one pitching prospect in all of baseball, who's got elite stuff, and would say, throw him a time or two in the rotation and see if he can keep the season alive. But I don't know that they actually think they're in it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So maybe we're being hypocritical. We don't think they're in it, so why would you rush him up?
No.
My point is they're not rushing him. He's ready.
All along, I've said they didn't build this team to make the playoffs. And I've said when they were winning a little bit, they're not making the playoffs. When they're losing a little bit, everybody's with me. They're not making the playoffs. I don't think they're making the playoffs.
No.
My argument is to those who have fought me the entire way. Well, if I'm so wrong, call up Jobe and prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Call up Jobe and try to win more baseball games. Give us the summer run that you've told me is possible.
Because I'd rather see if you're going to go for this, I'd rather go for it with Jackson Jobe then Alex Fajardo or Bo Brisky is your start, because that's what they're going to have to do.
Right.
Make Fajardo or Brisky a starter, you would assume.
My expectation is, though, that it won't be Joe, because they didn't add bats, because Javi Baez plays every day, because they're not serious about competing for a playoff spot. And we can fight about whether that's what they should be doing or not, but that is what they've said they're going to do with their actions.
Right.
AJ Hinch was on with us on Friday. This is the clip of him saying that he wants to buy. He was asked about Tarek Skubal and the rumors about selling. Here was AJ's response.
All right. I find it hard to believe that he and Harris has not had that discussion. But more importantly, of course he wants to buy. All managers want to buy. Managers want to win baseball games. They're not worried that much about the future like the front office is.
Mm-hmm. He wants to buy. Fans may want them to buy. What does buying even look like for this team? Let's say they win all the games against Cleveland this week. Whoa. They sweep them.
Wow.
Hot diggity dog. They're only, what? Four games back, three games back of a playoff spot, best case scenario? What does that even look like?
I know.
Who are you giving up? You trading McGonagall?
No.
You trading Clark?
No, those guys both got promoted
they're up
over
to
the weekend.
High A. I'm looking at their top prospects. It's Clark, Job, Young, McGonagall. You're not giving up any of those guys. So then you're going to be giving up Ty Madden, Montero, Flores. I mean, okay.
You don't have much to give up either.
No, okay. We got phone calls to get to, ticket text to read, and a lot more to do. It's 97.1.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.